This book that I hold in my hand tonight is my guidebook. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path, said the psalmist. That means if I know the will of God for today and for tomorrow, I've got to know this book. This book is my cleanser. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed to the word of God? So if I would be cleansed, I must know the book. This book is called a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And so it's called a sword of the Spirit. And so if I'm going to fight the battle and break down the enemy, then I've got to know this book. Now tonight, I'm going to show you the best way to know this book. We've all seen churches that once were on fire for God, soul winning, red hot churches, Bible believing churches, fundamental to the core, believed every doctrine of the Scriptures, the virgin birth, the inspiration, verbal inspiration of the Bible, the sinless life, the vicarious death of our Lord, the bodily resurrection from the grave. We've known churches like that. And we've known churches that they had conviction, and yet they ceased to believe right. And became citadels of error. Hotbeds of false teaching. Now I'm going to show you tonight where it all starts. We've all known denominations. In fact, every great denomination. I say that on every great. There's not a great denomination on the face of the earth tonight that is really and truly honest and true to this book. Not one. Not one. Well, you say, well, how about thee? Then not that one either. Now, if this be treason, make the most of it. And if you're going to hang me on this, prepare the gallows. But the truth is, brother, the action tonight is an independent fundamental Baptist work. That's where the action is. I mean, John Calvin would have a heap of trouble finding a place to preach in a Presbyterian church tonight. In fact, he had a heap of trouble finding one open tonight. So he could preach in any of them. I mean, Mr. Wesley would have a hard time finding the church. Listen, brother, the truth is, I'm not sure if I'd want Wesley here. He was rough. And I'm kidding about that. But Mr. Wesley would have a heap of trouble finding a Methodist pulpit open to him tonight. And Mr. Luther would have to travel a great deal of miles before he could find a Lutheran church that had to have him in their pulpit tonight. And John the Baptist have a hard time finding an American Baptist church that want him tonight. And a heap of Southern Baptist churches would say they're busy and occupied and books schedule full. What am I saying? I'm saying the honest truth is that it's impossible. I mean, I can recall, listen, I'll just call a few names tonight. I can recall when the Nazarenes were flaming for God. I can recall when the Church of God crowd was flaming for God. And I know, boy, I'll get letters about this from those who hear this on tape, but it's true. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just saying, if you folks that belong to these churches hear me on tape, if you don't believe this, then change it. I mean, it's just true. I do not know a single great denomination tonight that can sing honestly, faith of our fathers living still. What happened? I'm going to show you after a while. Because sometime in this sermon, I'm going to figure out why and tell you. What happens to an evangelist that was conducted successful revival campaigns in this country. And then later on, joined up with the wrong crowd and became the evangelist for the Northern Baptist Convention and then the World National Council of the Churches and then all of a sudden left the ministry and now writes plays for Hollywood. And I saw him on a newscast in Canada not long ago, and he said he no longer believes the Bible is the Word of God. Now, what happens to a fellow like that? I'm going to tell you after a while. Now, let's go a step further. What happens to these Christians? There were once deacons in our churches, and Sunday school teachers, and choir members, and ushers, and soul winners, and bus workers. What happens to that crowd? All of a sudden drops out of church, and all of a sudden things that were holy and sanctified and sacred and no longer mean anything, and all of a sudden they don't care about the Bible or care about the will of God. What happens to them? I'll tell you what. A long time before decay sets in, the work stops. Then a man will do His will, he shall know of my doctrine, said Jesus. As long as you're doing right, you believe right. I can take this arm right here, this mighty weapon you see before you tonight, registered with the United States government. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Why don't you say next? Let's make it like, whatever He says, I'll do. He didn't say. Amen. Will be in His will, he shall know of the doctrine. It says, if any man shall do His will, he shall know of the doctrine. And the best way in this world to learn this book is to do the will of God and stay after. Listen, I'm not sure where I'm going tonight. I know what I'm going to say, but I'm not sure when I'm going to say what. But I won't say that. You know where? You know where most of the false doctrine comes, from which it comes? It comes from a bunch of professors, do nothing but sit in their studies and read the Bible. That's all. I mean, listen, that's one reason why every professor at Hiles Anderson College goes soul winning every week and turns in a report about his soul winning every week. And brother, if the day comes when a Bible teacher sits out in the desk behind the desk in Hiles Anderson College and doesn't go soul winning during the week, then we're gonna either fire the Bible teacher or burn the college. Why? Because you can't learn the Bible by just studying the Bible. You know where this quacky, kooky doctrine of some are predestined to heaven and some predestined to hell came from? It came a bunch of fellows that didn't do the will of God. They're spending so much time examining the Bible like a mathematics book or a trigonometry book, and all of a sudden they had to come up with something brand spanking new. And by the way, that's where all these Bible, the Bible of Month Club, comes from. Now listen to me. Listen. As long as this arm stays active, this arm will stay useful. And as long, by the way, the same thing is true about the mind. I know many a person that would not have become senile if they hadn't retired and let their minds be not used, not be used. You just sit around and watch that box all day long and don't use that mind and don't make that mind creative. Before you know it, the mind won't be worth anything. That's exactly what's happening to Brother Colston. Now, let this be a warning, folks. This could happen to you. Many a person is frozen in a snowbank somewhere because they didn't keep moving. And many a church is frozen tonight because it didn't keep moving. And many a preacher is frozen tonight because it didn't keep moving. And many a denomination is frozen tonight because he didn't keep moving. You see, this same thing is true with the knowledge of God. You know, I thought about this. I never had thought about this in my life. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. I never thought about that. A workman. Didn't say study to show thyself approved unto God, a student that need not be ashamed, but a workman. You see, God opens this book in a wonderful way to those who work and do His will. I wouldn't give you a dime for all the dusty theologians that never do anything and spread the gospel, never preach a sermon, never get in a revival meeting, and never get out and do God's will. That you sit in some little old dusty study somewhere and pore over this Bible and never do it. I'll guarantee you. You give me a hell-raising, hell-firing, brimstone preacher, teacher, go soul winning, and I'll guarantee you God will open more Bible to him than He will to all the dusty theologians put together. Old Dr. Bob Jones used to say, every time at Bob Jones University we hire a Ph.D., we have a two-week revival to offset it. I can beat that. Have the two-week revival and you won't even have to hire the Ph.D. Sorry about that, Doc. But, say, I'm not against Ph.D.s. I'm against dead Ph.D.s. The Bible said, if you do my will. It didn't say if you're in my will. It said if you do my will. Whosoever he that doeth my will shall know of his doctrine. All kind of the hyper-dispensationalism. The hyper-Calvinism. The British Israel theory. And all those things come from the studies of men who are just theologues, and that's all. And they learn, they study, and then they look down their pharisaical snoots at preachers who preach it like it is, and bus workers, and soul winners, and track folks that pass out gospel tracts, and folks that preach on the street corner, and folks that go into rest homes. They look down their pharisaical noses at that kind of Christian as being somewhat inferior. I want to know you to tell you something, that God will give more Bible to a red-hot soul winner who will study his Bible and study it, but he will not take all his time studying his Bible. He will have his Bible and his soul winning and his prayer life in proper proportion and in proper ratio. I say God opens this book to those that do his will. First Corinthians 1:21 says, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by wisdom knew not God. How does the world know God? By Bible students who do the will of God, who are busy in the work of God. The person here tonight who's cold of heart is that person that's quit doing. But you say, I'm a little tired, a little weary of doing. Man, everybody gets weary of doing, but character doesn't stop it when he gets weary. Character keeps on doing it when he's tired. Character keeps on doing right, even if it's not easy to do right, and even if you're weary of doing right, and you think it's time to stop doing right, listen, character said, I'll do it. And God says, Holy Spirit, go down and give that fellow a little extra Bible while he studies. I want to make a statement here. If you'll please don't think I'm being either boastful or humble. But you know, sometimes I'd like to live another life. I love words. I love phrases. You read some of my books, and occasionally you may even see it spill into a message of extra time some week. I'd love to see if I could preach like R.G. Lee did. I'm not sure I could, but I'd love to give it a shot. But I dasn't try. Because if I tried, it would consume so much of my time. I could not do what I ought to do. I'd love to write. I'd love to write a commentary on the Bible. You know, some red-hot soul winner ought to write a commentary on the Bible. Most of our commentaries are written by men that didn't do anything but write commentaries. But the truth is, a red-hot soul winner hadn't got time to write commentaries on the Bible. I mean, a guy's going to build a church and build a soul-winning church, and a fella that's going to stay on the field and do. I didn't say be in. I said do the will of God. Boy, it'll be a air-conditioned day where the booger man lives. Before we let anybody sit on the faculty at Hiles Anderson College that looks down his noses at soul winners. And boy, if I ever hear one professor at Hiles Anderson College looking down on street preachers, I'll guarantee you one thing, he'll be the next street preacher or he'll be a pound of the concrete looking for a job. I'm not going to put up with it. No way. You say, you must think you run the school. No, I don't think I run the school. I just think I'm not going to put it. I'll go, he goes. We're not going to let our school decay to a bunch of them. Listen, I get letters almost every week. Dear Dr. Hyam, I feel led of God to teach in your school. I sat at the feet of Dr. Messam Up himself. And Dr. Big Exterior taught me himself. And I have my D.D. from this divinity school and that divinity school and my Ph.D. and my D.D.T. and B.B.D.s, all that stuff. I got it. And I got it. And he said, I tell you what, I believe. I said, he never says a word about it, whether he goes soul winning or not. Never says a word about them. Great churches. Never says a word about a bus ministry. Let me tell you something, brother. God has a marvelous way of opening up this book to those that do as well. I'd like to, if I could, if the Lord let me, I'd like to try sometime to see if I could have been a deeper lifer. And if you'll pardon me, I think I could have been so-called a deeper lifer. No such thing, deeper lifer. Deeper lifers are those who think they're deeper lifers, but whom soul winners pass going down while they're going out. But I am. If you will check my books on the Holy Spirit and on prayer, then you'll find that every once in a while I read a few verses in the Bible. If you'll come to church here on Wednesday night for a few years, I don't care who you are, you'll learn some Bible. And you'll check my book on Luden and Malays, you'll find that two or three times a year I think with my mind. The other day I was talking to Lindsay Terry on the phone. Every once in a while we chat. He said, Brother Hiles, he said, I came across a book the other day. He said, "Is please pardon my poetry." He said, I didn't know you wrote poetry. He said, man, I got reading that thing in bed. He said, I got laughing. And I told Marilyn, I said, Marilyn, read this. Well, folks didn't appreciate Longfellow in his day either. Shakespeare was not really recognized till he was gone. And I'd just love to write a poem every day. I'd love it. I mean, and the truth is, I have poetry in my soul. I'd love to write many books like prayer. But you know when I write them? On airplanes. I study. I study all my spare time. And I write these books on the way to preaching. Airports, rented cars, motel rooms. And I say this honestly. And I really probably shouldn't say it, but I'm going to. God, in a wonderful way, has let me learn the Bible. Because God knows I'm not lazy. And God knows I'm trying to live a life with the proper priorities. I give enough time to Bible study, enough time to prayer, but I don't put the Bible study in the place of the soul winning, in the place of the preaching, in the place of the church building, in the place of the praying. I'm saying that God, listen, God will let you learn more Bible in half the time if you spend the other half of the time serving Him and doing His will. You know who the person here tonight having doubts about his salvation is? The person is not using it. You've heard me tell this little story. I thought about it the other day because I crossed the path of this man again. Years ago when I was pastoring a little country church, Grange Hall Baptist Church, out at the edge of Marshall, Texas, I married a young couple out there named Ruth Kaywood and Abe Simon, two of the finest young people there now. Of course, middle-aged people, their families grown. I introduced Ruth and Abe, and they had their own family. Abe's now pastoring a church in Richmond, Virginia. Lovely people. I won Ruth to Christ, her mother to Christ, her brother to Christ, who became a preacher, and he died not long ago, Harold K. Wood. But late one night at the little country parsonage, the phone rang, I guess, after midnight. And Ruth, Abe said, "Preacher, Brother Hiles, come quickly. It's Ruth. Abe, what is it? What is it?" He said, It's Ruth. "What is it, Abe?" He hung up. He said, "Come quickly. It's Ruth." I didn't know whether she's dying, having a stroke, about to kill him. I didn't know. I went out and got in my car, a little Dodge car, and drove across town. I mean, it was one of the most miserable nights. It was just pouring down rain, electrical storm. And so I drove over out to the Longview Highway, and they lived in a little house behind the store, behind a little service station store thing. And I went back in the back. And so I knocked on the door, and soaking wet, and Abe came to the door. Come into the house, it's Ruth. on the floor, Ruth was lying on the floor, kicking, screaming, and crying. I thought she was having a seizure of some kind. And I said, what's wrong with Ruth? And Abe says she thinks she's going to hell. She's doubting her salvation. And he said, she's scared to death for the house. She won't sleep. She won't let me sleep. And that's when it gets serious. I mean, if a woman doesn't sleep, okay, but shut up. And so, that's preaching, isn't it? And so, but he said, she won't let me sleep. And Ruth was on the floor kicking and screaming and crying and hollering. And I said, Ruth, what's wrong? Oh, I'm going to hell. I'm lost. I don't know if I'm saved or not. And I said, hold it, Ruth. Hold it. Shut up. And she said, and I said, Ruth, what's wrong? And she said, I don't think I'm saved. And I said, okay, tell me about the time you walked the aisle and thought you were at one time.
She said, I went to your church. She said, I heard you preach, and you told about how that all of us are sinners. And you told how that because we're sinners, we're going to hell. And you told how that Jesus came to earth and lived and died and rose again for sinners. And you told how that if we trust Jesus, we could be saved. And so I walked down the aisle, and I got on my knees at the altar, and I asked God to forgive me, and I trusted Christ. I'm saved! I'm saved!
All she needed to do was hear it. That's all. That's what Revelation 12:11 means when it says they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Listen, the people in this room are not doubting your salvation. You're not talking about it enough. You get busy telling folks about your salvation, how to be saved. Listen, I tell people all across this country the wonderful story of Christ, and every time I tell it, I want to do it again. You know, honestly, folks, this is an amazing plan. The other day I was on an airplane, and I was talking to his accountant. And I said, I'm a CPA. And I said, okay, let me tell you something. I said, your books aren't balanced. He said, what's wrong? I said, your debit ledger is not in balance with your credit ledger. He said, what do you mean? And I said, so I got a piece of paper. I drew a little piece of paper, a little chart. And I said, here's your name up here. And I said, here is the debit. I listed all of, I said, how many sin? Let's list your sin. And I said, did you ever lie? Yeah, okay, I'll put liar here. Did you ever steal? Okay, I'll put thief here. And did you ever take anything that wasn't yours? Yeah. And I listed the sin. And I said, buddy, there's your debit. I said, you owe debt. Your books aren't balanced. But I said, let me show you another piece of paper here. I said, put Jesus up here. I said, did Jesus ever lie? No. Okay, don't put it there. He ever say a bad word? No. Bad thought? No. Ever steal? No. And I said, but he did go to the cross and pay a payment. So I said, Jesus, I said, you've got a debit here and no credit. And I said, Jesus has got a credit and no debit. And I said, boy, if you could just swing a deal with Jesus so he could put his credit to your debit, you'd have your books balanced. And man, he looked at me and I said, look, fella, would you just sit there for a minute? I am about to have a spell. I mean, boy, I never heard it explained so well as that. And I said, man alive. This is wonderful. Listen, wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like this. Listen, if you doubt your salvation, get out here on the street corner tomorrow and start passing out tracts and telling folks how you got saved, and I'll bind you by sundown, you'll be in pretty good shape. They that do my will shall know my doctrine. You folks having trouble understanding the Bible? Get busy for God. You know what you do? You live like an atheist before you become one. Madeline Murray O'Hare could take your place in this church, most of you, except for offering time. Madeline Murray O'Hare wins as many souls as most of you do. Fidel Castro gets as many folks in the baptistry as most of you do. Mr. Andropov of Russia gets as many people saved as far as a soul-winning program of this church is concerned. Mr. Andropov, Fidel Castro, or Madeline Murray O'Hare could take your place. Now listen, that means that though you're not an atheist up here, you are an atheist in your actions, and you live like an atheist before you become one. Look, you know why you don't believe that God answers prayer? Because you're not praying enough. You know why you don't believe that God... You know why people say, this is not the age of miracles. It's because you haven't had any lately. You know why I know it's still the age of miracles? Because I see them every week. And the reason that this book is open to me is because I do His will. Not in His will, only, but do His will. When I doubt my call to preach, you know how I get it settled? I preach. Preach. When I doubt my salvation, I witness. God gives miracles to workers. God answers prayer for workers. God opens His book to workers. God gives His truth to workers. I haven't told this little story in years. And this is one little story that people ask me, why don't you tell it? I want to hear it. And I love it. When I went to East Texas Baptist College in Marshall, Texas, I wanted to preach. And I wasn't ready to preach. No church was going to call me. I wasn't ready. But I wanted to preach. So we had a 1941 Dodge. I called it Jezebel because it acted like Jezebel most of the time. I got in Jezebel and drove out in the country. And I'd drive down a country road. And I said, I'm going to preach down here at this pavilion. It's a little pavilion down here tonight at 7 o'clock. Love for you to come to hear me. And I'd get a bunch of folk. No offering. I'd say, no offering to be taken. And I'd say, I'm going to preach down here. And I'd get in a crowd, usually 10 to 20 people, and I'd preach that night. I drove out one day out on the Carthage Highway. I came to a road called the Middle Roseboro Springs Road. I turned right, must have been about 10 or 15 miles south of Marshall, Texas, way out in the country in the sand hills of East Texas. And I came on a little church. It was just about to fall down. And I stopped and I said, hello! Hello! You Yankees don't understand this, but hello, holler, hello, that's like ringing the doorbell down there. I said, why didn't you ring the doorbell? Same reason you didn't knock on the door. There wasn't a door nor a bell. Hello! Hello! I wanted to find out if anybody preached in that church. And a fellow said, and I'm not making fun of black folks. This is the way he talked. He said, yes, sir! Yes, sir! Hello! And I said, my name is Jack Hiles. And he says, my name is Mr. Bussey. Mr. Bussey. And I said, Mr. Bussey? Are you pastor of the church? No, sir. And I'm not making fun. This is the way all of us Southerners talk. He said, no, sir, I ain't the pastor. He says, I am Deacon Bussey. Sir, our pastor's Reverend Roseborough. Said, Reverend Roseborough. Said, he teaches at Bishop College, a Baptist college in Marshall. And he come out here on the Lord's Day, and he preaches for us. And I said, does Reverend Roseborough come out on Wednesday night? No, sir, he don't come out on Wednesday night. Say, he teaches on Wednesday night. Say, we don't have no service on Wednesday night, just on the Lord's Day. And I said, if I could preach for you every Wednesday night, and if Reverend Roseborough would say it's okay, would you get me a crowd of black folks to hear me preach on a Wednesday night? And so, he said, yes, I sure will. Little black church, about 40 people would show up every Wednesday night. Had kerosene lamps and lanterns, and they never did light the lamps until I got there, because we always stayed late. And there wasn't any use in wasting any kerosene before the service started. They called me Reverend Jack. Reverend Jack. I'd drive Jezebel up, and there'd be a little building, and dark as pitch. Well, and not only were not lights on, but of course the skins were dark too. And so I'd walk in, they'd be facing this way. I couldn't see anybody. And I'd say, hello! And those 40 folks would turn around and look back toward me. And all you could see was eyes. That's all you could see. I just count the eyes and divide by two, and that's how I knew how many were there. I wish you could have been there. That's where I learned to preach. That's where I got my preaching shoes. I never forget. Boy, I tell you, I preached one night. I preached for 2 hours. I ran up and down the aisle. I hollered and screamed. But if it had a chandelier that hung on it, and I got through, Deacon Bussey said, Reverend Jack, he said, that was a good talk. He said, why don't you come out and preach for us sometime? And I said, man, I'm about dead now. The men always sat on this side, and the women sat on this side. Men and women never sat together. And I'd be preaching along. Deacon Bussey always sat back on the back. While I was preaching, Deacon Bussey would have his eyes begin to roll. I mean, he just. Now, a lot of counterfeit shouting in the world, but I tell you how you can tell the genuine thing. If the eyes don't roll, it ain't real. And his eyes began to roll, he'd begin to sway from side to side. And all of a sudden, the whole back row would start swaying with him. All those eyes looked like headlights. They start swaying side to side. And eyes rolling. And then the back row would stand up. And Deacon Bussey always sat right here. And Deacon Bussey would step out and I'd ride while I was preaching. I didn't say, sit still, man. I'd just keep on preaching. And Deacon Bussey would get in line. And the black man behind him would put his hands on Deacon Bussey's waist right here. And the black man behind him put his hands on the waist in front of him. Every man on the back row had his hands on the waist of the fellow in front of him. In case of Keith McCain, more like this. I was good to you, Ray. And Deacon Bussey, now, when he had passed that row in front of him, the last man, then that row would stand, and they'd follow, and to every man in this whole section. Now, the women always did. Women always waited till the men got through, lined up. They'd form a circle around that section as best they could. And then the ladies would start swaying side to side. No lady ever got happy till the men all got happy. And then the ladies would form. And all the time I was preaching. And then the ladies would start. I've never seen a conga line, but that's as near as I think it was like. And swaying from side to side. And here's where they'd start singing, what could I do without the Lord? What could I do without the Lord? And the ladies go around this way, and the men go around this way. I have to confess this, but I've had you many a Wednesday night about 11 o'clock. 40 black people, 20 men, 20 women. Many a night, I've been on the tail end of that line. With my hands on the waist of the old black fellow in front of me, rolling my eyes. I didn't do it. I mean, I had to do it. I won't act like I was spiritual, too. And swaying from side to side, singing, what could I do without the Lord? Oh, you say, I said it. Yeah, but they weren't in danger of becoming liberal. You never heard a man say, glory to God, woo! Bible ain't so. Nobody ever says that. You ever see anybody out witnessing saying, let me tell you how not to go to heaven? Huh? Best way in the world to stay fundamental up here is stay fundamental down here. And stay fundamental down, I can't reach it, but stay fundamental right there. You keep your feet fundamental, you keep your heart fundamental, and you'll keep your head fundamental. But I'll bind you, buddy, you get your feet liberal, and you get your heart liberal, and you'll have a liberal head. And I'll guarantee you, every church that's ever gone to pot started when they quit soul winning! The way you know the doctrine of God is to do the will of God. If any man will do his will, he shall know of his doctrine. I'll never forget it, and I almost didn't tell you because I always want, I don't use this story much, about every two or three years now. Somewhere I use it. I'll never forget the night. Service time was ended. It must have been getting close to midnight. We'd had a time. Man, we'd had a time. you just get up and say, and God created, and they'd throw a fit. Just throw a fit. And you could preach on he went and hanged himself, and they'd bless God and shout. One night at almost midnight, it's time for us to go and look back on the back row, and Deacon Buss's eyes were filled with tears. His heart was filled with the glory of God, and I said, Deacon Bussey, it's time for us to go. Would you stand and dismiss us, please? And Deacon Bussey didn't move or speak. And I said, Deacon Bussey, would you dismiss us, please? He didn't move, didn't respond. And I said, Deacon Bussey, it's time for us to go. Would you dismiss the service for us, please? He didn't budge. I said, Deacon Bussey, please dismiss the service. That dear old saint of God stood up and tears down in his cheeks. And he said, Reverend Jack, I don't know what dismissus means. And I said, Deacon Bussey, do you know what praying means?
Yes, I sure do.
I said, would you lead us in the closing prayer? And the old fellow reached up, and he grabbed the horns of the altar. And by the time he got through praying, Elijah had his hands on the waist of Elisha. Now, I'm not advocating tonight that we get in the conga line here. But I bind you one thing. Somewhere between where some of you folks are right now and where Deacon Bussey was is a pretty good ground. And I'll bind you another thing, too. If I had to do that to keep him going liberal, I'd do it. A man will do his will, he shall know of his doctrine. If you want to know the Word of God tonight, I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't study the Bible. Don't misunderstand me. Brother, you ought to live in this book. But you shouldn't just live in this book. See, this book is to show you his will. There's no need to learn his will if you don't do his will. Listen. Hear me now. A lot of you people sit with that radio and listen to every deeper life Bible teacher comes on that radio. And the truth is, you don't know any Bible because you're not learning anything from it. Sounds good. As they run their Bible by you like Russia runs her arms parade on May Day. But none of it sticks. Boy, he knows his Bible. But when you turn the radio off, do you know what he knew? And many a young preacher. Listen, I saw a young man the other day. Went to one of our fundamental schools. We have students there. But he got under a wrong professor. And that professor has ruined that boy. Ruined him. He's made him think that Lee Robertson's shallow. Lee Robertson's got more depth in his big little toe than a so-called deeper lifer's got in his whole brain. Lee Robertson's forgotten more than these professors know. This poor young preacher boy, he was so amazed at the tremendous knowledge that this teacher had. The teacher led him astray. Now he hears a real man of God preach, he's critical. Ruined. Why? Because he heard somebody who knows the will of God and believes in being in the will of God, but is not busy doing the will of God. If you want to know this book, you get busy for God. I read this book, and God knows it's true. Tomorrow night, I'll go to bed, God willing, in Norfolk, Virginia. Last thing I'll do before I turn the light out is I'll take this book and read from its pages for quite a while. I'll hug it to my breast and kiss it goodnight and put it beside the bed. The next morning when the light goes on, the alarm goes off, I'll reach out and try to find it in the darkness. I'll get the Bible and I'll start reading it. I read it in airports. I read it on airplanes. I read it in motel rooms. I read it in my study. I read it. I just read it. I honestly, I try to live in it. So I can learn what to do. One reason God doesn't give you any light in the Scriptures is because God's not going to give you light on the next step if you haven't done what God said in the last command. You see, you go up to a service station and say, fill it up! And then they sit there for a day and ask them to fill it up again. And you see how much they can put in there. You can't fill up a car regularly unless the car is being used. You got to drive it. You got to burn up the energy. I know a heap of people. Lord, fill her up. Fill her up. And God fills it up. But you know, listen, you don't learn as much Bible as a fellow does that takes it, finds out what to do, and burns up the energy, and comes back and says, fill her up again. And that's why you don't know the Bible. This may sound funny from a Baptist preacher. But this world will go to hell if we leave it up to theologues who spend their time doing nothing but studying the Bible. I can take you to Church of Christ preachers that are mixed up on salvation and wacky about Baptist regeneration that have the whole New Testament memorized. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing. God, in a wonderful, miraculous way, opens this book to people who study it, and then obey it, and do what it says, and stay busy for God. I used to tell this the same time I tell the story about St. Mary's. Years ago, I got a letter from Dr. Percy Ray. Wildest place ever been in my life, Myrtle, Mississippi. Yeah, it's just nothing. He asked me to preach. So I went down there, and I asked him when. He said, well, when the Spirit moves, we're preaching. So I took my Bible with me. I walked in and sat down right here on the end, Myrtle, Mississippi. And I got there. Percy Ray weighs about 275 or so. He was up on top of the upright piano preaching. He's preaching on the rapture. He was the Lord. He was going to come back. He shouted, faked the trumpet, jumped off that piano, shook that building. Building couldn't seat 500 people years ago. And then folks got happy. Percy Ray weighed about 275, I guess, 250, 275. He got so happy he quit preaching and started right here down that row and would stop and hug everybody on the end of the row. I mean male and female. And you really haven't been hugged till Percy Ray hugged you. He just started. And I was sitting about half back. He got to me. And I knew what was coming. He hugged me. I never have been hugged like that before. Or since. He almost broke my ribs. So he let up on me and went back to the person behind me. And I said, thank God. That's over. He said, hold it. He came back and said, I feel the Spirit. I feel it. I feel it. I said, man, I feel it too. He said, let me hug you again. I got to be sure it's of God. He hugged me again. He said, it's right. It's time for you to preach. Well, I wasn't in the mood to preach for then. I said, look, check it out again. Test the Spirit again. Hug me again. He said, folks, the Spirit has led. It's time for Dr. Howes. And I stood up, and I preached all I could. You never saw such a wild bunch in your life. Now, I really am not going to stand on the piano tonight to preach. I never have. I'm not quite as exuberant as Percy Ray, but I'll bind you one thing. I have not seen one sign of liberalism in Percy Ray. Do you ever go see a fella wearing a robe up on a piano preaching? Do you ever see Norman Vincent Peale jump off the piano? Now, as long as you can keep this fundamental, and as long as you can keep this fundamental, you'll keep this fundamental. I'm talking to a lot of folks in this room tonight who are on your way to being a liberal. You're on your way to being an atheist. You know why? Because the Bible says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of his doctrine. There's many a sweet little grandmother who sits by the window and reads the Bible and sings. And everybody comes to the door. She witnesses to them. And she goes to church and hears the preacher and prays for him and tries to win souls to Christ and does the best she can to rear a family for God, to whom God has given more light on the truth of this book than he has some people that sit behind desks in seminaries and just stay in the book and that's all. God gives assurance to people that stay busy. God gives the knowledge of this book of people. Hey, you know the best way to learn how to be a carpenter? Build houses. Back in the days when I was in the paratroopers, I learned something. You know that it was said that most of the second lieutenants who were killed in action were shot from the back instead of the front? Now, I'm going to stand it. These guys would go to Officers Candidate School, OCS. And boy, they'd learn everything about an M1 rifle except how to shoot it. They could dissect it, tear it apart, blindfold it, put it back together blindfolded. But they know how to fight. Did you know when they got on the battlefield, they weren't worth shooting? Come to think of it, they were worth shooting. Because they were trained in the classroom. But not in the field of battle. And many a fellow went in the field of battle a private and came out with bars on his shoulders. Because the way to learn to fight is to fight. I can't swim. I couldn't swim from here to Mrs. Colston. If I could, I wouldn't want to swim to Mrs. Colston. But I couldn't. You know why I couldn't? Because it's that woman's fault right there. It's the one that's sleeping right now. It's her fault. My mama said to me, son, if you don't learn to swim, I'm going to spank you. But she said, woe be to you if I ever catch you in water. You know where to learn how to swim? I tell you how to learn how to swim. You get in an office and get the book on how to swim down and read it carefully. That's where you do it. Yeah. And then you look at it carefully and that's the way you do it. No, you don't. No, you don't. I've seen many a kid whose daddy just took him out to the creek. And we used to say in Texas, just throwed him in. And he became a good swimmer just like that. You know how to learn this Bible? Huh? Let the Holy Spirit throw you in. Yeah. Yeah. You mark my word. A lot of you folks say, I just don't understand the Bible. I guarantee you why. Because you're not doing the will of God. You're not doing the work of God. You're not keeping the arm busy. You're not keeping the brain busy. You're not keeping yourself doing the will of God. Now, I cut up a lot. And I'm a little corny sometimes, so you can understand me. I put the jelly on the bottom shelf, as Dr. Rice used to say, and I put orange juice and the castor oil, so you'll drink it. But some of you deeper lifers, before you make your judgment, you might had better get my book on the Holy Spirit and see how many years it takes you to understand it. Because to him that doeth the will of God, he shall know of his doctrine. Now, what you better do is you better get back busy for God. You better get that, start building that Sunday school.